Fasten your seatbelts and turn up your radio. We're going on a road trip. Just 3 years ago, Marathon County was considering terminating its agreement with North Central Healthcare amid an array of concerns over how the organization was operating. But now, North Central's partnership with Marathon County is stronger than ever, with a $73 million expansion plan underway to help address the needs of our region's most vulnerable residents. Welcome to Route 51. I'm Shereen Seawert. North Central Healthcare in Wausau serves the people of Marathon, Lincoln, and Langlade counties, offering mental health and substance abuse services, as well as care for the elderly. But that mission requires significant funding and cooperation from leaders in all three counties. Joining me today is North Central Healthcare CEO Michael Loy, who is working to position the facility for future success. Welcome, Michael.
Morning, Shereen. Glad to be here.
We'll take your calls and questions, too. Join the conversation by calling 800-780-9742. So, Michael, let's begin with an overview of North Central Healthcare and the array of services it provides.
Great. I always like to start and give a little historical context of how we got here. But over 125 years ago, Marathon County built the first county asylum for the insane, and that was through state funding to bring localized care here so families could be closer to their loved ones. That really is where we started. There's been a huge evolution over the years to get us to where we are today. But really, the impetus for who we are now and what we've been for 47 years came in the mid-60s with the passage of the Mental Health Act by President Kennedy. And essentially what that did is the belief was that we would work with counties to create community mental health centers to provide localized care for individuals with mental illness and addiction. And that was the belief at that time that that could help solve the mental health crisis across the United States. So that funding came into Marathon County. They started to build their system. And then the state of Wisconsin at that time didn't like that the federal government bypassed the state and went directly to the counties. So that's when Chapter 51 was really created in its form today. It delegated the well-being care and treatment for individuals with mental illness, addiction, and developmental disabilities from the state to the counties. Counties were given one of two choices. You could be a single county community service program, or you could be a multi-county. So North Central Healthcare became the first multi-county by virtue of having more resources here and having Langlade and Lincoln counties reach out to say, hey, we don't have that kind of resource capacity in our communities. We think we can best meet this need by working together. So we were the first. There's been many others. There are two others currently in the state. And then out of the remaining 65 counties in the state of Wisconsin, when you've seen one community service program, you've seen one. And I think that's what's unique about Wisconsin is, you know, we operate more on a county level from our mental health system. You know, other states largely operate in regional models or state-based models. So that is definitely different for us in this community.
Okay, North Central Healthcare is undergoing some pretty comprehensive overhauls of its facility. So tell us what's involved in that. What's being built?
Great. So 2 years ago, as we got through the new agreement with the Tri-County arrangement that we have, we knew we had to start planning long-term. Our facilities were getting closer to 50 years in age. We had pressing decisions to be made regarding the pool, Mountview Care Center. And so we really wanted to take a look at it in a comprehensive manner. I mean, such that the funding is for county governments right now, if we would have handled our capital projects on one-offs, we would have been doing that for a better part of a decade with a 50-year-old building. So I encouraged our board to fund a comprehensive study of could we accomplish this in one fell swoop, reorganize ourselves, elevate our quality of care and our environment of care, and be able to do so in a way that created so much efficiency in the size of the building and the scope of the renovations that we could not only expand services to increase revenues, but then also be able to just be more efficient. And can we pay for that debt? And the answer to that was yes, to the tune of $73 million. So the first master facility plan was, can you physically do that given the infrastructure? And the answer was yes. And then can you pay for it? And the answer was yes. So that vote happened at the county board to authorize us to borrow $73 million to accomplish the project. And over the last year, we've been working in earnest to design the building. So it's been almost 3 years now that I've been involved in this project. And we just broke ground in August. And I didn't realize how big $73 million was until I started walking by it every day with all the workers
right,
and the equipment. And yeah, it's pretty incredible.
So what's the timeline like?
Well, it's a total of a 3.5-year project. Right now, we're in phase one. Phase one includes the new aquatic therapy pool, which will open in March of next year. And then phase 1B is a new 8-bed youth hospital, psychiatric hospital, as well as a new 16-bed crisis CBRF. We have a 12-bed one now, but it'll expand to 16 beds, so that'll be nice.
What's a CBRF for people who don't know?
Yeah, Crisis Rehabilitation Facility.
Okay.
So it's a community-based rehabilitation facility, and essentially it's just a voluntary program that's more of a home-like environment that gets people to transition back into the community or temporarily provides a supportive environment for them.
Okay.
So that's the first couple phases, and we today actually will be opening bids for the new skilled nursing tower. Mm-hmm. So it's a new four-story skilled nursing building that'll start hopefully shortly thereafter, and then that project will take about 18 months. Somewhere in there we'll start our hospital renovations, which will take about a year, and then our last renovations will be around the current Mount View Care Center building, which has both an administrative and outpatient renovation piece to it, as well as renovating the skilled nursing portion of that building as well. So that should wrap us up really in early 2022. And in March of 2022 is exactly when we'll be celebrating our 50th anniversary as North Central Healthcare. So it should be a pretty
timely.
Cool. Yeah, it's a fun time play on the timeline, that's for sure.
Are you within budget so far? Are things going pretty well?
So far, within budget, within timelines. You know, it's a complicated project. What's the one of the most incredible things about the whole project is everybody in the building right now that we serve and works there will move at least once. Some people will move twice. That's really limited, and we've had to do some moves to enable ourselves to do this. But we're accomplishing all that within really three phases, and most of the work's going to happen external to the operating environment, even though we're using some current building. There's some new build, and then there's some renovation of current building. But to do all that external to your operations so it's not disruptive is pretty incredible. And our nursing home residents right now love it. There's tons of action. I told them I'm going to give them binoculars and a radio so they can tell me when things aren't going well.
I'm sure they will.
Yeah, they love it.
One of the major facets of the renovation plan, and you mentioned this already, has to do with crisis services for youth. I'd like to spend a little time talking about that. Mm-hmm. So when a child in crisis is brought to North Central Healthcare right now, what happens?
Well, first, they're given an assessment by a crisis professional. They're going to be looking for, you know, factors that could suggest that they could harm themselves or others. You know, usually that's the criteria that we're looking for. But then, you know, past that assessment, if the solution or the need is not a hospitalization, it's what can we do from a community support standpoint. So in our new renovations, we do have an 8-bed youth hospital, psychiatric hospital. We will be unique from a county standpoint. There are only 5 psychiatric hospitals run by counties in the state of Wisconsin. We would be the only one that I'm aware of that operates on an adolescent or child basis. When I first started, we did allow and we were licensed to have adolescents 13 to 17 on our adult unit, mm-hmm. But I never felt comfortable with that, and so we stopped that pretty immediately. The answer and solution that we have here in this community really is transporting those youth to other facilities that are geared to support them on an inpatient basis, and that's at least, you know, an hour and a half drive. So usually Fox Valley's even Green Bay is really the solution there. There are some other options, but they're even farther away. So to have that here in the community will be critical. We have, on average, probably about 4 to 6 youth out at a hospital at any given time. And so our 8-bed unit should be able to accommodate our needs and then be able to essentially maybe even extend outside of our 3-county area if we can, depending on the census. But hospitalization is one answer, and it's at the far end of the spectrum of what we need to support the youth in our community. And I think a lot of people believe that North Central Healthcare had this huge continuum of care available for youth, and that's just not the case. I mean, if you look in the state of Wisconsin, 49 out of 72 counties do not have a child or a pediatric psychiatrist. It is puts Wisconsin in really a lower tier nationally,
really,
in the availability of resources. And so there's a real challenge here in the state of Wisconsin. There's a challenge here locally. We did hire a child and adolescent psychiatrist, and we're trying to bring in more, you know, through the residency program. But, you know, to develop that full continuum of what a child needs and what a family needs in that situation is really, there's a lot of opportunity there here locally to develop that, but you need the right people. And unfortunately, that's the real big challenge, is having the right number of professionals available to do that work.
When a child is transported to an outside community, who makes that transport? Is it somebody at North Central or is it law enforcement?
Well, we have a decision-making process. It could be one of two things. It could be if they're going voluntarily, I mean, their parents and family could take them. If they are going involuntarily, we have two options. We do provide transportation services where we believe that there would be low risk in the transport because people are obviously elevated, and you know we have to take into account the safety of the staff transporting them. But there is a fair amount that are transported by law enforcement, and that is in a squad with a fully uniformed law enforcement official. And we did have a practice here, which is very common of, you know, anytime you transport somebody with law enforcement, they're required to be handcuffed. And obviously there's a great deal of concern from our perspective, but I think what's been remarkable here with our community and the law enforcement in this community is their willingness to learn more about mental health care and make policy changes that reduces trauma in that experience. And where we can, that is no longer the policy of law enforcement to the largest extent in this community. And we try to reduce that need and make that as less than trauma-inducing as possible. So I really, hats off to our law enforcement. They've been great partners.
Sure. And they spend a lot of time doing this. I mean, obviously you said it's an hour and a half, probably minimum each way?
Easily. So the whole process, and there's a number of different partners, and it gets complicated because you're dealing with a different family every time, a different child, a different law enforcement agent or official, a different person or team in the emergency room, and a different team potentially at our crisis center. So there's just, it's always a changing environment in terms of what that team is. And that's something I'm not sure we'll be able to solve, but we can create better structures. And so when somebody is detained and the decision is that they need to be hospitalized, the law enforcement official has to go with them to the hospital to receive medical clearance. And there's a lot of consternation around medical clearance, and really it's medical stability is the right term because essentially what happens is when they go to a psychiatric facility and we take custody for the care and treatment of that individual, we don't have the resources to make sure that physiologically that they're going to be safe in our care. So if they, for instance, were under the influence or you know, had some type of substance and they were having an adverse physical reaction, we don't have the emergency capacity that a hospital would have to be able to care for that individual. So we need to make sure that they're safe to come into our care and that we can meet their level of care needs. So that's what requires emergency clearance. And that can take a couple hours depending on where you're going and the tests that they run. Most of those testings don't result in actual, you know, the person not getting hospitalized, but it's, you know, necessary for the liability of the organization and the physician ultimately that's taking on that person because they don't have the capacity to be able to meet their needs if something like that were to happen. So that's where a lot of the time takes is from the transportation, you know, to get that done, to get to the facility. So we're looking at things that we can do. There is an ability for us to have a higher level of care where we could have law enforcement come directly to North Central Healthcare and we could handle most medical clearances. Milwaukee County does that. I think over 90% of their medical clearances are handled at their inpatient psychiatric hospital, but it would require an enormous amount of additional resources and staff for us to be able to do that. So we're working through that right now, but we'll see where that lands. But that whole process, you know, could take hours, and depending on where you're in the state, you know, I've heard stories of 10, 12 hours. So it's pretty incredible.
I'm curious, do you see an increased need for youth crisis services? Have you seen that trend increase, or is it about the same? What's it like?
I think it's increasing. I think there's generally a greater awareness for people to get people connected to resources. There's still an opportunity there, but what I would comment on is the acuity or the needs of the children have gotten so much higher. It's just a lot more complicated. There's a lot more factors. You know, kids are dealing with a lot more, you know, in the world today. So I think that all of those things complicate it. Oftentimes, you know, being in this community for 45 years, we're seeing multi-generational mental illness. And, you know, as you look at the supports that a child has, I think that's one of the most critical things that leads to their success is, you know, I think the statistics, you know, in healthcare generally is 80% of the outcomes are determined outside of the hospital. It's not the care that was delivered. 80% of the outcomes are deemed to have come from, you know, the supports and what we can do as a community to make sure that they're successful once they leave that building. That's true for mental health care, especially.
You're listening to Michael Loy, CEO of North Central Healthcare in Wausau. He is our guest today on Route 51 as we discuss the impact and the future of healthcare in our region. You can join the conversation, too, at 800-780-9742. I'm Shereen Seward. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're back on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. North Central Healthcare CEO Michael Loy is our guest today, discussing plans for the future and the ways in which the organization is serving residents in Marathon, Lincoln, and Langlade counties. We'd like to hear from you. The number to call is 800-780-9742. Your questions are welcome. So North Central Healthcare covers three counties, Langlade, Marathon, and Lincoln. I guess I wonder what it's like to balance the needs of all three counties that are very they have very different needs.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest challenges of my job, actually, is, you know, we cover 5,000 square miles. There's about 180,000 people within the three counties. And if you look at the split, about 130 is Marathon, 30,000 is Lincoln, and 20,000 is Langlade County. And so while we do have some urban elements, certainly here in Wausau, it is a largely rural county. So when you deploy a resource like a 24/7 mobile crisis unit, we could have somebody traveling an hour and a half, to get around the county just to be able to find somebody and to connect with them. So I think that is one of the biggest challenges. All county boards and all politics are local. And so there's different needs in all three counties. Just the size of the county boards, I think, is somewhat of a challenge to make sure that people have a balance of understanding when they turn over potentially every 2 years for them to understand what we do in the system. It takes a while. Marathon County's got 38 board members, and Lincoln and Langlade counties have 21 and 22, respectively. So, that is probably the challenge, is the education, the understanding, and making decisions within that environment.
Your organization has been involved in a number of unique partnerships that have emerged over the last few years. I know a study has been started with healthcare providers that would identify a unified mental health care plan. What are your hopes for this, and what does that entail?
So this is really parlays onto the previous question you asked, which is, a lot of people have beliefs and potential solutions for addressing mental health and addiction in our community. And if you look at the life report here in Marathon County, they've talked about mental health and addiction for many, many years as being the number one and two issues in this community. And I think that we haven't made as much progress as we could have made because of the lack of resources, and then the lack of coordination of resources, and the lack of vision for what a comprehensive system would look like. I think people have believed that North Central Healthcare has been really the solution to all those opportunities, but we can't do that alone. And so what we've done is we've commissioned a firm out of Massachusetts called the Human Services Research Institute, and they consult with county and state governments. And essentially the goal and the objective of that study is for us to develop a vision of what a modern and effective mental health and addiction system looks like, with North Central Healthcare as the backbone from an emergency and crisis standpoint, and then being able to create a path for how the community can fill into those gaps, and that system is coordinated so people don't get lost in the transitions of care, because we can't be everything to everybody, from the North Central Healthcare's perspective. So we need to be able to work with the community providers. The hospitals have a part in that, and we need to have a very clear picture of where we're going, so that when we develop programs and people bring programs for us to develop, we need to make sure that they fit. They fit in the direction of where we're going so that we can have long-term success. And so that study is going to be occurring over the next 5 to 6 months. We anticipated the release of that sometime in May. We just had the firm here this week meeting with our hospitals, and everybody's saying the same thing. Everybody really sees the need going forward is, yes, you need a effective crisis and emergency response system. Yes, we need to reduce the number of people that are hospitalized for psychiatric needs, but we need to build a more effective community-based structure where we can meet people where they're at, in their homes and out in the community, to make sure that they don't get to the point where they need to be hospitalized. That's the future, and there's a lot of ways to do that.
And of course, there's been a demonstrated need with a lack of psychiatrists in central and northern Wisconsin. I'd like to ask about your relationship with the Medical College of Wisconsin, mm-hmm. and what that means for the community and how that's working.
So the Medical College of Wisconsin made it a priority to create regional training sites here in Wisconsin to expand the availability of psychiatry several years ago, and through work with different state agencies, the state itself, they were able to get grants to expand that. And the way that it works is that both here in Wausau and in Green Bay, they've created these regional campuses. And in Wausau, in our case, we've signed on to have 3 residents being trained a year. To be able to provide a residency, you need the appropriate supervision and clinical sites for those residents to learn. And so they've partnered with several different agencies to provide that residency experience. North Central Healthcare is certainly the backbone in that program, would not be here without our support. Mm-hmm. And we do take on a lot of the responsibility of making sure that program works in partnership with the Medical College of Wisconsin. But that has been a symbiotic relationship that has benefited both organizations. So we need, obviously, psychiatrists to train psychiatrists. But because we've had the opportunity to do that, we've been able to attract more psychiatrists to North Central Healthcare, and the availability of our psychiatry has expanded in the last 3-4 years quite considerably. And we're still working on that. And then that's in addition to the residents. But I can tell you that building a residency program is no easy task. It's, you know, we've had to make changes. It's fundamentally changed our organization. You know, we've, you know, wanted to become more of a learning organization and do more clinical education. But when you bring so many residents in and physicians, you really have to think about what is, you know, the collective vision of quality of care here in the organization, and how are we going to prepare residents for the future. So it's a little, it's been challenging. Our first group, you know, definitely are pioneers. We're in the, it's a 4-year residency program. So we're in the midst of PGY3. And so a year from now, our first class will be finishing up. A year and a half from now, they'll actually be graduating. And then next year in July, we'll have 12 residents practicing within our area. You know, and that's great because the research shows that, you know, around 80% of residents tend to stay where they train. And we hope to have that success here. But really, you know, the residency program has been really a changer for us. It will be a game changer for our community. And I believe that because of the quality of training that these residents are going to get here, that 10 to 15 years from now, people will reflect back and you know, really think positively about the people that came out of this program.
So you see this not just as a short-term solution, but perhaps a long-term one by getting increasing retention. I mean, getting these folks to stay here, and not just move along to big cities or other communities.
Yep, that's the goal. You know, we have to be able to offer them opportunities, and there's certainly a need here. Unfortunately, the challenge, you know, with psychiatry most often is one of funding. Psychiatry is not a well-funded, you know, medical service, and that drives a lot of the availability of the resource. So, you know, the solution has to be partly there. But, you know, the residents, I think, love living in the community. I think they look at our organization. You know, we have a really wide continuum of care, and we're building that. So I think that the future for us is a compelling one that they'll want to be part of. We did hire a resident that will be starting to work for us a year and a half from now, out of the UW Green Bay residency, actually.
Okay.
And we will continue to have conversations with our residents and offer them opportunities. But that is the goal. And I think that's part of the community role that North Central Healthcare has, is that we hopefully can provide a great training environment for people that need that experience. And if they don't stay with us, and the hope is that they do, but if they don't, and they go out in the community and they stay in the community and provide services, and we've increased those resources, then, you know, we've really succeeded. So the goal is obviously to keep them at North Central, but if they can stay in the community, we've really won.
I'd like to talk a little bit about recovery services. We have seen a significant uptick in the number of drug-related cases in our court system. We've been keeping track of those, and every week there's, you know, a dozen more that crop up in the system. So what is North Central Healthcare's role in providing recovery services to those who need it?
So there's a number of driving forces as you talk about addiction in our community, and alcohol is still the number one. Mm-hmm. And people sometimes forget that in the in the scope of the, you know, issues we're dealing with opiates and methamphetamines. If you know, talk Marathon County, it's probably more opiates, but Lincoln and Langley counties are definitely more methamphetamine-related cases. You know, those are powerful drugs. You know, a lot of the methamphetamine is not coming out of home cook kitchens. It's coming out of, you know, factories that are really making the drug powerful. And, you know, what's been impressionable to me is, you know, as I've sat in some of these day treatment programs and, you know, individuals that are going through recovery, they're not different than you know most people I interact with. It's just they've gotten mixed up with a very, very powerful drug, and they've lost the ability to make some choices that can move their life in a positive direction. So our goal is to create multiple different avenues to meet them where they're at and get them walking on a path that they can get away from those evil drugs.
So Lakeside Recovery expanded in 2018. For those who might not be aware, can you explain what Lakeside Recovery is and its relationship to your organization?
Yeah, Lakeside Recovery was opened a little over 4 years ago with 6 beds. It's a 21-day residential treatment facility. So ideally, people would move from detox into the 21-day rehabilitation facility. The evidence shows that more longer-term treatment, you know, 90 days plus, is generally more effective. But in terms of a part of the continuum, 21-day program can really provide a lot of value and really was a good start for our community. But there's a lot more yet to come in the full continuum because everybody's needs are different and, you know, certainly some are more complex than others. But we've expanded that now. It's 14 beds in the renovations. It's going to expand to 30 beds. So, you know, we're trying to address that. And as we expand that, I think that you'll see different timelines being offered in terms of the length of treatment, I think, which will be better. The needs, the wait list for those programs have been, you know, incredibly, you know, high at times. We've made some progress on that. But as far as I know, we are the only county that's actually providing that service. Counties contract with it, obviously, with private providers. But for a county to actually have its own program, you know, we were certainly the first. And, you know, I'm not aware of any other ones that are happening in the state. There may be some that I'm just not aware of. But, you know, there definitely is a need there. Again, there's a lack of funding for those programs. Insurance companies don't often cover that type of, you know, coverage. And, you know, that's the real challenge thing. And the other thing about recovery that I really don't like from a policy standpoint is people have to fail, you know, in a progressive manner to get higher levels of treatment. And it's just so counterproductive because it's discouraging. And I think that there needs to be a real change about getting people in the right program based on need, not their track record of failing through other interventions to get there. I mean, it's kind of like step therapy and prescription drugs. It's just get the person what they need to be most successful out of the gate. I think we could have some better outcomes.
So you'd like to see somebody who is doing okay, but realizes, hey, I have got a problem and I need to address it. You'd like to see services for that type of person
right.
Instead of, hey, this person is in legal trouble. They've lost their home. They've lost their family. You get to this crisis point before services are available.
Yeah, and I think, you know, what I was referring to is, you know, sometimes people from an insurability standpoint for that to be covered, they have to fail at a lower level intervention.
Okay.
And they can't get in. And so, you know, we do want to be able to work with somebody that says, hey, I need help. And I think what I need and what is going to be most effective is for me just to commit my entire life to being in recovery in that environment. And that's not always the case where people can go right to that. And that's discouraging.
What is the waiting list like at Lakeside?
I don't have a number off the top of my head. It used to be in the hundreds. It's definitely lower than that. You know, the challenge with that is that given you have a wait list, can be discouraging from people even trying to come because they know that that exists. So we still want people to come because we can assess them and we can get them connected with other resources. You know, that definitely has gotten lower over the years. I think it will continue to get lower. But I still think we're only scratching the surface on people that could potentially use those services.
But there are expansion plans in the works for this. I mean, you see in the future that this will expand.
Yeah, it definitely will expand. But again, you know, a lot of the future growth, we have our campus renovations. But the future of our growth and our programs and services have to be more community-based.
So I know Danielle Shine pretty well, who is the director of that program, and I know that there's been a therapy dog added to Lakeside Recovery. His name is Alvin.
Yeah.
So what's been the benefit there?
Alvin's a pretty incredible resource for our crisis team. Alvin is a specially trained therapy dog. His brother works at the Wausau PD.
Yes.
Which is awesome. Our foundation, the North Central Health Foundation, sponsored the purchase of Alvin and his some of his ongoing expenses. But really what Alvin does we have multiple examples of this and data to show this, is sometimes when somebody is in a crisis, they just cannot stabilize. They're just emotionally elevated. And what Alvin does is that when you bring them in the room, especially with youth, they start to pet him. There's an attraction to an animal. It's less threatening. He's certainly not threatening. You know, it's just lovable. And people in those moments need that. For him to offer that, it's like a light switch. I mean, it's incredible.
We had a guest talk about this, about therapy dogs in the schools. Very similar. I mean, just that natural urge to pet the dog, and there seems to be an instant comfort factor there.
Absolutely.
So that's an interesting program that you launched there. I'm glad it's working out.
Very much so.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask about the Sober Living Project in Langlade County. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah. So Langlade County really has a number of needs. There's, you know, high preponderance of addiction in Langlade County. We're looking at kind of the needs assessment. We worked with the Medical College of Wisconsin. One of their students here was doing a community project and did a needs assessment for Langlade County and really identified that the need there was an 8-bed sober living facility for females based on just, you know, the people that were in the jail and the needs that were being unmet. So we worked with Langlade County to identify a property. We've purchased that property. It's a former assisted living. We're in the process of preparing to do renovations, and those renovations will be completed, probably around April of next year. And then we'll open up shortly thereafter, sometime in the second quarter of 2020. But really, it's a recovery-based sober living facility. There's no actual treatment provided in the facility. It's just a productive environment for people in recovery to have safety and support. And the goal is to put them on a path to community independence. So often, housing is, if you think about hierarchy of needs, somebody dealing with addiction, obviously there's a lot of complicated issues they're dealing with. But if you can't meet their needs from a food, clothing, shelter standpoint, you know, their ability to find recovery and treatment is not going to be very successful. And in the same respect, if you don't put them back into an environment after treatment or a recovery program that is conducive to the recovery, you can go right back to where you started. So that's kind of the goal of this program is to really provide that environment and that support.
All right. Michael Loy, CEO of North Central Healthcare in Wausau, our guest today on Route 51 as we discuss the impact and future of healthcare in our region. You can join the conversation, too, at 800-780-9742. I'm Shereen Seward. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're back on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. North Central Healthcare CEO Michael Loy is our guest today, talking about the future of community healthcare in Marathon, Lincoln, and Langlade counties. We'd love to hear from you, too. The number to call is 800-780-9742. What questions do you have? There was some concern among neighborhood residents living on Wausau's southeast side a while back. This is an area adjacent to North Central Healthcare about the proposed expansion plan. This happened, a couple of years ago, a year and a half ago, perhaps?
The neighborhood meetings?
Yes.
It was earlier this year.
Okay. Did that take you by surprise?
No. We had anticipated some of the pushback there. I think what was surprising, you know, in the process was, I think we did a really good job of reaching out. Obviously, a 3-year project of that scale in a neighborhood that is very tight knit and in a nice part of town is disruptive, and I get that. We anticipated some pushback. The thing that was surprising was that we really weren't adding anything generally that I would describe as new. Mm-hmm. We were adding new buildings; they were being moved closer to the perimeter of our campus. But it was really surprising that some of the pushback that we got was we don't want a locked unit on our campus. We think that could, decrease people's safety. My response to that is you've had locked units on this campus for, decades. And the evidence that you don't know that is the evidence that that's not a problem. Mm-hmm. We really do a good job of keeping both the patients and the community safe. But, there were some, legitimate concerns, misunderstandings, but the neighborhood's fantastic. There's more support than there is not support. And for the people that live across the road from our campus, they're impacted the most. And those individuals obviously were the most concerned. Mm-hmm. And living in their shoes, I would completely understand that. You know, anytime you're living next to a commercial property or adjacent to that, I think there's always a risk of disruption that way.
Another bump in the road a few years ago, Marathon County was considering terminating its agreement with North Central. Mm-hmm. How did you navigate that challenge? How did you bring local decision makers back on board with your mission?
I think it started with listening and really, you know, trying to live it, the experience through their view. You know, they've got challenges and they've got issues that they're trying to solve, and they rely on us to be part of that solution. And I think at the time we weren't doing it to a sufficient degree, and they were feeling stuck and not getting what they needed. So, you know, I saw it through their lens, really it was about listening, and it was about fundamentally revisiting why this organization exists, the value that it brings to the communities, understanding the roles of counties, and that, you know, this really is the best thing forward. And I think, you know, in anything, leadership matters. And I think that we worked through the problems that existed. We had a shared vision of what we wanted to become, and we started working at it. And we started doing what we said we were going to do. And I think that's made a big difference.
Okay. North Central Healthcare also oversees Mount View Care Center that provides skilled nursing care. So why is this part of the public sector when there are private facilities that are tasked with providing these types of services?
Great question. Counties are not required to provide skilled nursing services, but what counties are required to do is provide protective placements for residents that you know, cannot care for themselves and need to be protected as kind of a ward of the county, if you will. But that's existed for a long time, and Mount View houses about 33 or so protectively placed residents. And over the course of the history of Mount View, that used to be more. And I can talk about why that's changed. But across the state of Wisconsin, you know, there are fewer county homes. Counties have gotten out of the nursing home business. I would, you know, really not, you know, it's a tough business to be in from a regulatory standpoint, from a financial standpoint, from the needs and the acuity of the residents going up. It is a difficult, difficult business to be successful in. And I think some counties just saw that it was impossible. And so they closed their nursing homes. They had a sufficient amount of nursing homes in their community to rely on. The problem that's going to come is that as most or a lot of these private facilities will continue to close in the state of Wisconsin, is that this will not be an emergency. And when it is, it's going to be an emergency because people can't gain access. There won't be facilities for people to go into. And where that will impact the private or protective placement situation is that if people in the community do not have answers, you know, or solutions or access to programs, individuals will go into the county systems. They will become protectively placed, and then the county is going to be responsible for their placement and well-being care and treatment. That includes financial responsibility. And so for Marathon County, you know, right now, if you look at those 34 people, if we had to pay for that type of treatment or care for those individuals, it would exceed what the county is currently paying for tax levy. So the county looks at it that way, where, you know, we can pay the tax levy and have this availability, this resource to the community, not only to the people that we're responsible for, but then the people that, you know, need that program services that want to, you know, just generally go and access those services. So I think that's the future of you know, the nursing home industry and the challenge that's going to come from counties in the future. You see some of that happening in other county services where people need to be placed or need to be in a protective environment. And we can't find access to those, and that drives a huge cost as people are taken out of the community. So there's evidence that that will happen. And so that was really the point I made with the county, is that this is in your best interest to be successful here. And these are the things that we need to do to be successful. You know, we've done a pretty good job in a very difficult environment, and, you know, we're not out of the woods yet. And I think that the financial issue was addressed in the state budget. You know, there was a 6% increase in the rates for Medicaid, but when you're losing $70 to $80 a day per resident in Medicaid, that is not a good business plan. And the counties, you know, certainly accommodate for that. But unless that problem is fixed, and as access goes down, more money will come into it, and hopefully, you know, over the long game, we can stay here as a community resource, and that financial picture piece will get solved. But the other major issue is just availability of workforce. That is by far the most driving, huge factor for any business right now in this community, and certainly for us.
It is a huge factor. I mean, we've heard that from other nursing homes, other residential facilities, that they are really struggling to attract workers. What are you doing to mitigate that challenge?
We're doing a lot of innovative things, and you know, we talk about it every day. But you know, if you walk out in this community and you go into a fast food restaurant, you know, where you used to see five people working, there's maybe one or two. Mm-hmm. It's everywhere, and you know, we're all competing for the same workforce, and that workforce is getting smaller, and so. You know, that may seem, you know, really overwhelming, and there's, you know, obviously a lot of difficult solutions that'll take a long time to be able to address that. But fundamentally, we need to attract more people to the region. I think that's really important. And then, you know, certainly just do things that put us ahead in terms of being a great place to work and supporting people. But, you know, as you look at our organization, our two main lines of service are behavioral health care and skilled nursing. In behavioral health care, we're largely the game in town. So if we want to get more workforce, where are we getting it from? Mm-hmm. We got to get people coming right out of school.
Right.
And, you know, maybe some people that come to the area. And then on the skilled nursing side, I mean, we're competing with the number one industry in the area, which is healthcare. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just a lot of needs. Healthcare is growing, expanding. That's what's going to continue to happen. So you have a dwindling labor pool with an expanding market. It's going to be a challenge.
I know that... Mount View has been recognized by the state as a model for Wisconsin and even perhaps for the country. So what makes it unique?
The people that provide the services every day. It's the way that they approach the residents. They approach it in a way different way. It's not the building. It's not our supplies. It's not our technology. It's the people that are working our floor every day. They just approach it differently, and they do amazing work.
What percentage of the residents at Mount View Care Center are in memory care units? I know that there's a big need for that. Mm-hmm. There was even a closure of one nursing facility in this area that I recall in the last year. There may have been more, mm-hmm. Mount View took in some of those residents. So, how many people are in those memory care units, and what's the need?
We have about 100 people in the memory care units. And so out of our mix, that's probably about 60% of our total population, maybe more. You know, other people maybe in long-term care are starting to have early stage stuff as well. But it's definitely a huge need for us. And, you know, going back to the closure, you know, I think that's a point, an example of what could happen in the future is if communities are relying on private industry and private industry are failing, we got a call that said, you have to find a placement for 36 people tomorrow. And so where are you going to do that? Well, thankfully, we had some capacity in Mount View, and then there are some other nursing homes that took that on. But if a community doesn't have alternative options, what are they going to do?
Okay. North Central Healthcare also provided an interim administrator for Pinecrest Nursing Home in Merrill following the retirement of Pinecrest Administrator Lisa Gervais in May. Mm-hmm. Now, you recommended moving forward with a permanent arrangement for North Central Healthcare to oversee operations for Pinecrest starting in 2020, yes?
Right.
Okay, so where does that stand? How do you conclude that this was the best course of action?
So anytime we do one program or service for one of our counties but not the other, we have to examine why that is. North Central Healthcare provides an inherent value through regionalization for some of those healthcare programs. And one example of that is Pinecrest Nursing Home. And Pinecrest and Mount View are two of the largest facilities in the whole state of Wisconsin, you know, two of the largest county ones for sure. As we looked at Pinecrest, you know, again, the availability of talent is a challenge. We share the same issues. We operate really in the relatively same marketplace. And we've been able to do some pretty remarkable things with Mount View over the years that I think puts us ahead of the game. But really, it's about taking two high-quality nursing homes in our area and finding a way to work together to reduce costs where we can and then be able to have a larger share of the market that we can work with our healthcare providers to make sure that we're meeting their needs, meeting the community's needs, and really providing more of a financial viable future. And Pinecrest's, you know, runway was not long, you know, financially. You know, we can only sustain that financial environment that we have for so long before it comes a real reality. And so, you know, the challenge with nursing homes, in addition to the reimbursement rates, is that more people are staying at home longer. So when I first started North Central Healthcare, Mount View was operating about 220 beds. Today, we're operating about 180, and it's not because we've closed units because we don't want to, you know, have that business. It's because there are less people coming for those needs because they have alternate options staying at home longer. So when you have something as like a nursing home, which is a large fixed asset that has a lot of costs that go into it, when your revenue source keeps dwindling, it's very hard to reset. So we've had to do some resets over the time, and it's kind of just managing to where's the new normal. Mm-hmm. And then stabilizing. And so I think we could really help Pinecrest with that. And so we looked at it, did our due diligence, created a path, and gave the county board two options. This is the path if you want to continue independently. If this is the path if you want to work with North Central Healthcare. Financially, that was basically a light switch savings of about $800,000 right out of the gate. And that's not with changing the staffing mix or anything. It's just some of the things that we provide or do differently, I think.
Wow, $800,000?
Yep, right out of the gate. And we're investing some other things, and, we're increasing staff wages there. And, it's a challenging transition. I mean, to transition 160 resident operation and 200 employees in a matter of 6 months, it's been nothing short of a challenge. Living a day in the life of Michael Loy and North Central Healthcare is there's no shortage of problems, that's for sure. We were driving to school today, and my daughter said, Dad, why was the math book sad? And I said, I don't know. And she said, it has too many problems. she's got bad jokes like that all the time. But, I just feel like that hit home today for me because, there's just so many complex programs and problems that we're dealing with, given the programs and services that we're operating in. And Pinecrest is no exception to that. But there's some great people that work in Pinecrest. They've got a long tradition of high-quality care. We're very happy to have them part of the North Central Healthcare family. That takes North Central Healthcare next year to about a $90 million operation and about 1,000 employees. And I think not a lot of people really know that, but it's got a pretty significant presence here. And, we're definitely dealing with some challenging things in our community.
Let's talk a little bit about the therapy pool. I know you said it's covered in snow right now because it's undergoing renovation. Of course, that was a big hot topic a couple of years ago. It's being rebuilt. How's the process coming along? And are those private pledges coming in as promised?
So a little bit of context on the aquatic therapy pool. Why does Marathon County have aquatic therapy pool? Because it might be the only county in the country that has one. It started as a developmental disability program as an activity in the 70s. So the warm water environment, it's a pool that's got the temperature turned up. What changes in the late 90s is we needed a path to make that more financially viable with the pressures on the counties. They looked at mandated services versus voluntary services. So we changed to provide more therapeutic therapy, physical therapy out of the unit and some exercise classes. And that really transformed the pool into really a community asset. And that pool is incredibly important in keeping people independent and mobile in the community and then recovering in a really protective environment. I've used the pool personally when I broke my foot with recovery. The environment is really conducive. It feels healing, but then it's also safe. In my example, healing from a foot injury, I'm trying to put more weight on it, and I can do that without the fear of falling. So I think that's true, especially for a lot of our frail elders in our community. So it's an incredibly valuable resource, and people truly are out in the community independent because of that pool. So I'm excited for the pool. It should open up in April of next year. The fundraising pledges are all converting, and a lot of capital campaigns, you may see 80-85% of pledges convert. I'm pretty confident we'll be at 98-99%. The people that are committed to it, there were large donors, large foundations, obviously, that made this happen. But there is a whole host of about 600 to 700 people that are donating anywhere from $20 to $500,000 on an individual basis.
It was a significant fundraising effort, yes.
We raised $3.4 million in just about 6 months, and that happened just because of what the pool offers people, its history, and how important it is. So it's incredible to be part of that.
Well, one final question for you. What do you think the biggest challenges will face the Tri-County area with respect to healthcare in the next few years?
Two things. I think the availability of resources within a changing and evolving workforce labor market. So the labor market, such that it is quickly inflating in terms of cost and certainly just the availability of high-quality people. That is predominantly the most challenging factor for any business to be successful right now, especially ours where margins are what that they are. I mean, you know, we're it's tight on a daily basis before you even factor that in. And then the availability of resources, from both the state and federal government, Medicare, Medicaid, primary funders of ours, the cost to continue under that environment is challenging. And then the alternate funding options that we have is we have very little commercial. Commercial doesn't pay for a lot of our programs and services. And then we definitely have a lot of state grants and county funding. And then the standing operating procedure for us, and has been for many years, is there's no new tax levy. That's a function of the levy caps that are placed on county governments. And they've been operating on that for decades now. That is just one of the most challenging things facing our communities. We all understand, nobody wants to pay more taxes. We certainly would like to pay less. But, at some level, paying a little bit in taxes can really reduce costs in other areas.
All right. That's all we have time for today on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. I'd like to thank our guest, North Central Healthcare CEO Michael Loy. Our executive producer is Rick Ryer. Our on-air producer today is Joy Ratch-Kramer. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. You can hear the archive of today's program at WPR.org/Route51. Next week, we'll welcome Democratic State Representative Katrina Shankland and Republican State Representative Pat Snyder for a discussion on proposals being discussed at the state level and how those proposals could impact residents in our region. Until then, we're headed out of town.